Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe. Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells. From the Wells Report, Facebook, check him out. He's the big voice guy of the semi-big podcast known as What's Your Problem? From the Big.HQ in the Spring Hill, Tennessee metropolitan area, check us out for anything lighting, electrical, and now heating and air. Just check us out at Big.Inc.com. What's Your Problem is a podcast all about business owners and professionals within the Middle Tennessee area. And occasionally we'll have people from other parts of the country and talk about their business problems, but mainly right here at home. This is a video and an audio podcast, by the way. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. If you want to listen to it, you can find us there. And if you want to watch it, for whatever reason, look at my ugly mug. Knock yourself out. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, jimmccarthyvoiceovers.com. And today, we've got a long lost friend. Not lost friend. You weren't lost.
I wasn't lost.
You're not lost. You're found.
There you go.
A long, good time, long friend, good long time good friend.
Long time listener, first time caller,
yeah,
right?
Long time good friend, Tina Doniger, who we used to work in the radio business together. And just want to welcome her to the show. She represents, your title is?
Executive Director.
Executive Director of the Community Resource Center
that
in Nashville.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
CRC. Really representing, like, majority of Middle Tennessee, but yeah, our office is in Nashville.
There you go. Well, first and foremost, we're going to do something called the Random Five. Get things going, gets the juices flowing.
Okay.
Gets us to be radio people again, creative. Brought to you by Kalioka Company. Check those guys out. Tina, I'm sure you've had smelly rugs or garbage cans or cars at some time, right?
Yes.
Kalioka Company makes a cleaner that has probiotics in it, like the stuff you put in your gut.
I was like, in your stomach?
Yeah.
For your trash can.
For your trash can, your cars, anything that stinks. And it's a great cleaner. It's all natural.
Okay.
So these probiotics are really hungry for smelly bacteria. That's the best way I can describe it. Go check them out.
I don't even know about that. I don't... Okay.
Links in the description. Check those guys out. Okay. Random five. Question number one. Let me keep track because I was in radio. I forgot how to count.
Can't count to five?
I can't.
Okay. There we go.
It's very difficult to keep track of five questions, believe it or not. What bends your mind every time you think about it?
God, you didn't say these are hard questions.
They're random completely.
They're totally random. Bends my mind.
Yeah.
Do we get a pass or like a phone a friend? I mean, I'm just, you know.
We can come back to it. We can pass if you want. That's fine.
Bends your mind.
There's got to be something.
I have no idea.
No idea?
No. Like bends, give me another adjective or
verb. Turns your brain into mashed potatoes. You know, just you think about it and you make that face. Like, you know, Cro-Magnon face.
A reality television probably.
Really?
Yeah.
You just don't get it.
I don't get it. I really, I live a reality television, probably at home and work.
Doesn't
and
everybody?
I'm like, what do you think that you're doing on TV? And you just told the whole world your dirty laundry. So yeah, okay, reality television. That's
we'll go
my
with
answer.
That.
Yeah.
If you had to disappear and start a whole new life,
you would never know. I have a plan.
Oh, do you?
Oh yeah.
Okay, what would you want your new life to look like then?
Well, if I tell you, then you'll know how to find me.
Well, I know.
I've always said if I win the lottery, no one will ever know because, like, your attorney accepts your money. You have a trust set up with a name that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
You have a burner phone. There's no data tied to it. I would probably be living on some beach in some other country.
Because you used to do that.
I used to do that.
Yeah. And that seemed like a rock star
gig.
Such
a great life when I was traveling the Caribbean on a regular basis.
Very difficult life.
So hard.
Question number three. What's invisible but you wish people could see?
My thoughts.
Almost immediately. I love it.
Good answer. I mean, my thoughts.
Your thoughts?
Yeah.
It's like having a tail. Uh-huh. People can tell your mood if you've got
face,
a tail.
My face is the tail, but if you could really see what I was thinking, you'd be like, okay.
Jay Moore told a story about how he was working with Christopher Walken, and the question came up, Chris, if you could have the gift of flight or a tail. Oh, easy, a tail. He knew right off the bat he'd rather have a tail. I can get on a plane anytime I want, but you know, with a tail, people could tell what mood I'm in. Mm-hmm. So, what is the most overrated movie?
Oh, overrated movie. So, I'm going to say the Die Hards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not a fan.
Not at all.
My husband and I will argue that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It totally is.
It is not a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Because there is a Christmas party and a Christmas tree does not equal a Christmas movie.
But we watch it at Christmas, so it makes it a...
Only you know. And him.
No, there are other people, too, who watch it at Christmas.
No, Die Hard all the way around.
We're going to get into more things with Tina Doniger coming back after this. That was the Random Five brought to you by Kaleoka Company. Check those guys out. Links in the description. And we'll be right back.
Henry Ford once said that if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. Nothing could be truer about energy-efficient LED lighting in your business. At Big Dot Lighting, we can show you how a portion of your savings from a commercial LED lighting upgrade will be paid for in hardly any time at all. Until then, you're paying for them anyway. Book a no-cost lighting energy assessment with Big Dot Lighting. At least 30% of your utility bill is waiting to be saved. Go to BigDotLighting.com.
All right, coming back, Mrs. Tina Doniger sitting in the hot seat today. Glad you could come out. Always good to see you.
It was a nice drive.
Thank you. It is. You kind of have to pack a bag lunch from where you're coming from.
Not at all.
You know,
not at all.
We're almost in Alabama.
There's nothing wrong with Alabama. Roll Tide. I mean, like, so you know, like, I'm all for it. Like, let's just go.
Southern Alabama is really good. You know, the first, three quarters of the state is kind of like, all right. It's a dirge. But, I mean, you look at, getting down here, and I'm glad that you came out to the compound, which is
amazing compound.
Thank you. Because typically it reminds people of, you know, we slaughter people here or something.
Well, typically you all come to me.
Right.
So I don't ever get to see behind the scenes, really.
Yes.
Because we are a client.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should put that, you know, hashtag
you are.
Ad. But no, you know, we have a warehouse too, so people are always wondering what does it look like behind the veil a little bit.
Right.
So it's a great little compound.
Thank you, and you are a client. We've done lighting retrofit for you with BigDotLighting.com. Check us out and BigDotInc.com. I do a lot of plugs.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that when you started. I find your career with the radio business very interesting because you were. When I first met you with Race for the Cure, right?
Yep.
And you were doing a lot. You're just like a point person, quarterback. You carry the whole team kind of person.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I do feel that way. You know, my radio career really started backwards. Because
did you start in Vegas?
Portland.
Right.
Portland, Oregon. So really, I was... Like, I have a degree in psychology. I realized I was only going to make $7 an hour in Portland without a master's degree.
Right.
Probably cleaning up pee off the floor, you know? So I started doing HTML programming and really just kind of playing because I could get a job and could do some marketing stuff. And so then I was like, if I'm doing it for this company, why can't I do it for myself?
Right.
So I started a business in my parents' basement, essentially, because I was living at home after graduation, not quite sure what I was going to do. And I happened to know a guy who was the systems engineer for KUPL radio in Nashville or in Portland country, and said, hey, y'all don't have a website. I can make you one.
That was way back. Yeah.
Way, like when you were, you know, you had those automated gifts, you know, that were like sprinkling glitter and stuff like that. And so, you know, a couple years later, a couple of trips to Nashville, moved on out here without a gig, thinking I was going to go to work for like CMT or somebody like that, and kind of fell back into radio. And then, you know,
it's funny.
Spent some time in Vegas, spent some time in St. Louis, came back to Nashville.
I have no idea how old you are. Never have. I would imagine you're younger than I am. So the radio station you work for wanted a website well after most of the world had websites for their businesses, right?
I mean, that was like 'cause
that's
90...
radio. Never on the leading edge, always on the trailing edge on the
like
other
95.
Side of the curve. Was it 95? Okay, so they're ahead of the...
I'm not as young as you think I am.
Well, I think you are. If you're younger than me, you're young.
Yeah, but I'm only younger than you, but...
All right, what year were you born?
77.
Yeah, you're younger than me.
Yeah, but only by a couple of years.
Only just 2 years.
Yeah. So I'm not as... I mean, I'm not a spring chicken, as I would like to say.
But I mean, in 95, you were still in your teens.
Yeah, yeah. I ran a business before I could buy alcohol for my clients. I like take them to dinner, and I'd be like, hey, you know, like, we're going to negotiate this, you know, $5,000, $10,000 deal over dinner, but you're going to have to buy your own beer.
Okay, you mentioned a very key word, negotiate.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In the radio business, did you negotiate all your deals? Well?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Did they kind of tell you what they were going to pay you and you just went with it?
I mean, I think my first job was in the 20s.
Right.
Mid to high 20s, I would say.
That's
that was
doing
the
good
most
in the first
money
job.
I'd ever gotten.
Yeah.
And they offered free drinks on bar nights. So I was like, oh, so I'm making dinner money. Like, okay, yeah. So I don't have to pay my tab. And they said you can drive the station vehicle.
For your personal vehicle.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, because right. We were like in a city. We were in downtown Portland. So
that's
you had
a big
to pay
market.
For parking. Yeah, it was a huge market for first time out. And then I moved to Nashville, which is not so big. But, you know, they thought they were the bee's knees. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that I ever negotiated. I might have negotiated a little bit. And they're like, well, yes, we know that you're worth that, but in a year, we'll put it in the budget. And then it never just mysteriously never gets in the budget.
No, but they keep on adding duties to your job, right?
But I think negotiation skills are always something that first-time job people, they don't know that they should negotiate every deal. You should always push back, even a little bit, just to show that you...
know what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. In the absence of value, there's no price too low.
100%.
And it's funny because every year I would always get the 3% cost of living raise. And unless I would choose to go out of my way to shoot for the 10 to 15% raise, but that took work.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
I mean, I will say you know, this situation that I'm currently in, running an organization that has had the year that it has, I did negotiate that raise, but
yeah.
I mean, I've also worked 18 months in a row and
you've grown the organization.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like, luckily they see value in what you're doing, but I think you should be always showing value in what you're doing, not just when someone says, hey, it's your 6 month review, it's your year review.
Yeah.
I'm constantly telling people like, hey, this was done. This is finished. We negotiated this. We received that. Like, I'm always making sure that people know.
Yeah.
I'm doing my job, even if they don't want to read the email that says I'm doing my job. So
I like asking the question, okay, do you not think what you're paying me is worth it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of people, especially with, you know, where we worked and in the industry where we were, and I had the same conversation with Danielle Breezy. I said, look, if I was to be on a morning show again, I would completely base my pay on one spot set per day.
Yeah.
Now I've got skin in the game. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you're getting off of one spot set is my pay for that day.
Yeah.
All right. Or maybe you shoot for two and land at one or whatever.
Well, I mean, I think now, and you and I are different because I don't think we
weren't always like this though.
No. 100%.
We've had an awakening.
Very much so. Yeah. But I think even in the, you and I were multifaceted staff members, I really feel like. I think we weren't just on air, we weren't just marketing, we weren't just video, we weren't, like, some people are just that, and you put them in the box and that's all they can do.
Yeah.
And so if it is not their perfect news set or their perfect, you know, cut into a song or whatever, like, it goes crazy.
Yeah.
Where you and I were, like, wearing 12 different hats, and so I think it was hard to really value everything that we were doing because they wanted to look at one little thing and be like, oh, this is what you do. And that's not what you do today. And it's not what I do today. It's really never what we did in our careers.
And I don't mean to throw shade on the radio business, but I mean, you know, even those that are inside of it still know that they're kind of late adopters to technology. They should have been quicker to podcasting and things of that nature over time. And a lot of the guys that do what I used to do, I'm not sure if a lot of them really realize it. Maybe this, it's just kind of a still of an adopter mindset that their skill set is now worth so much more out in the open market doing mm-hmm. podcast production, coaching. I've had conversations with people who have been let go from morning shows that have longevity in doing morning show prep, knowing how to format it, knowing how to run a clock and how to run a show. I'm like, guys, you could be a consultant for a podcast.
Well,
easily.
You know, and I think coming from the promotions and marketing side of the world, like I feel the same way because I know how to coach my sales team. I know how to put together presentations. I know how to regurgitate back the value of what we were doing and value sell. I mean, like how hot a button was that when we were doing this? Like we need to value sell the client on what the neighbor is doing next door that they, you know, so all of that to say, you know, I do the same thing every day, you know, whether it's an executive director that's calling me or if it's another event that's calling to say, hey, can we take you to coffee and just pick your brain? And how do we do this? How do we do it better? How do we make more money? How do we utilize, you know, Venmo or whoever, whatever, you know, those are all things I do every day, you know?
So from radio, you went into the vacation business. Right.
Kind of. You know, I took a hiatus from radio early on and spent time in Vegas. That's where our paths kind of crossed, but didn't cross.
Right.
We knew of each other and names and whatever. But I was the CEO of a company that was running Vegas entertainment and cruise ship entertainment.
Yeah.
So I spent considerable amount of time there and then moved back to Nashville and went back into radio for a little bit. But nonprofit was kind of always something I really loved.
Right.
Susan G. Komen, my mom's a breast cancer survivor. So there was a personal tie there when I worked for them. And I kind of say that I paid my penance. You know, my mom is still with us today and thriving and doing amazing. And so that was my way of giving back, was to essentially develop the Race for the Cure here in Nashville and push it over the edge and $1 million kind of events and whatnot. And then went back into radio. And so once I kind of retired from radio, I spent about a year and a half touring Sandals and Beaches resorts and getting paid to do it with other radio people. So I was working for a company that would bring radio people to the resort, wine and dine them for, you know, 4 to 5 days. Yes.
Yeah, mutual friend. Good old Mary.
And, you know, like totally hook them up with, you know, a night of dancing and we order 85 shots and, you know, they want dinner at the French restaurant and we'll go there and just shooting video and pretty much putting together just photo books and video of their experience.
Right.
And then, you know, policing. Because socials are so important that we didn't want to be like, yeah, I had the best night drinking my mini bar and here's me drunk in my bathtub. You know, I'd be like, hey, let's take that down. That's not really on brand. But it was great because I got to see a lot of the, you know, Caribbean side of the world. I spent a lot of time in Orlando working with Orlando folks and visit Orlando, visit Jamaica. I mean, all very like so random.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun.
So was your job to reach out to the radio stations to get them on board or?
No, pretty much. I just followed them around and shot video and photographs, you know, and really just kind of.
Did you edit the video too?
Herded the cats. Yeah. Ugh. So I would literally say like, oh, you didn't bring a promotions person. Okay. We need to make sure we get some video of you like juggling the glasses or pouring the shot or whatever the thing was, making the sushi roll. And then, hey, I edited that all together. Just throw your logo on it. It's all in the Dropbox.
So you do like a sizzle reel for each radio station.
Exactly. And then like a giant sizzle reel for like the whole week. So
oh my gosh.
Here's the week in like
five minutes. Yeah, that's a dirge of work right there.
Oh, I mean, I would just lock myself in my office on a return trip. So not only like have I slept 2 or 3 hours a night because we stay up all night. And then we shoot, you know, we have to do morning show. Mm-hmm. So imagine morning show from Jamaica is whatever time and whatever state they're in, you know. And then as soon as the morning show leaves, then the afternoon show shows up. So then you get to sleep in a little bit. But then they want to rage like all night too, because they get to sleep in. So it was a lot of fun. But it would definitely, when I would come home, it was like lock yourself in your office with Adobe Premiere and, you know, hope that you don't have 1 second of a video.
Right.
Bad. And then you gotta like, where is that 1 second? So
that's why you need a team, some guy that's doing the editing for you.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like, so, I mean, the company you worked for, did they buy the time from the radio stations, or was it kind of just a partnership?
No, it was all promo.
All promo. Mm-hmm. So the radio station would cover the cost of getting down there.
Well, the company would cover the cost of them getting down there with like American Airlines or whatever. Right. And then
no cost to the radio station.
No cost to the radio station. Free all we want, trips to give away.
Right. All we want is, so basically the cost structure of that for you was the reduced rate on the facility, because the facility, I guess, was hiring your company to get promotion. I got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious how to see that, how that pans out. How that worked.
I mean, it's really, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, way to work it. Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you have these resorts, and even stateside, you know, you've got resorts in Orlando, you have them in other parts of Florida, and even the experiences. So it's not just the resort, it's the airboat, and it's the, you know, catamaran, or it's the parasailing, or whatever. Like, we were using the resort when no one was there.
Right.
So it was a downtime with the resort. It was the downtime with the tour companies, anybody, you know. So it's really about them. They already had to pay the staff. They already had to have, you know, all of that going on. So why not figure out how to put promo into it that, you know, you've already got the cost of that, but you can get so much more value out of it. More so because it was one giant endorsement without an endorsement fee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cost was, again, the hard costs of the resort and facility and stuff like that, and amenities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying the promo company to get us advertising, all these people talking. We're getting, you know, full on hours of promotion.
Hours.
Hey, we're down here.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're taking over socials, your personal socials, radio socials, like all of that. So,
how did that work out for the resorts? Did they see a pretty significant uptick in?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, so much so that you've got people calling to be like, hey, I want to do this. Yeah. And sometimes it was, you know, definitely a conflict of interest, because you've got like, oh, we're already in bed with this resort or that resort. You can't come in and do the same thing for the resort down the street.
Right.
But they moved on to cruise ships. They moved on to some other areas, some concert events. So, I mean, they've done really great. You know, it's just, it's hard to, and you know this, like, we're juggling travel, work, kids, family, husband, wife, like all of that. Like, that is just, at some point you got to be like, all right, I gotta hang.
You're living like a rock star while you're going down there, right?
Yeah. And my husband travels for a living too, so like, I was living like a rock star and he was living like a rock star, and our kid was like, hey, I'm with grandma.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm so glad you guys are having fun. But
is he still with Dell?
No.
What's he doing now?
He works for a company called Epiphany out of, I guess, New York. It's a startup. Mm-hmm. Still in the, like,
funding
virus world of computers. Antivirus, I guess, is the best way to put it.
We can talk a lot about this kind of stuff. I mean, I thought that part of your life was very fascinating, watching you go on all these trips. I'm like, that is so cool, because I think at the time I was in the car business.
This Mercedes and Tina's at beaches again. Sometimes it was like I was gone for 2 weeks. I mean, people are like, how are you living out of a suitcase for 2 weeks? I'm like,
I just do.
It's not hard, but it's not easy. Yeah.
Did it ever get old?
A little.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many like dirty bananas and like tricolored shots you can do on a trip. Like, really, you're like, and the hard part is like, you're the girl, and you can understand this. Like, I'm shot all this video, and they need it tomorrow morning because they're going to be like, hey, we threw this up on our Facebook page or our website. So you're like at the bar, everyone else is like raging around you, and you're like, I got to get this video done, and I need to edit these 55 photos for this one station. So, you know.
Yeah. Well.
The world has changed. So, like, you know, think about, like, that was, I don't know, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, a lot has changed in that. So, now they're probably not doing as much.
Maybe they need to pick it back up.
Yeah, not with me.
So you got you got back into the nonprofit world with the Community Resource Center, the CRC, in downtown Nashville. What is the gist of CRC? Tell me, explain it to me like I'm a 5-year old.
We erase the barriers to personal hygiene for our neighbors that need it most.
Right.
So we're dealing with about 300 nonprofit partners that we distribute hygiene and basic essentials through. And they essentially get it to those that are at or below the poverty line and get it to the communities and the neighborhoods that desperately need it. We work with about 155 schools, putting it right into guidance counselors' offices, you know, right into the clothing closet, if you will, so that kids have toothbrushes and toothpaste and soap and laundry detergent. So they'll come to school so that people will, you know, feel a sense of dignity and pride and maybe a little bit of hope. And so that's what we do 365 days a year. In the last 18 months, we spent a lot of time in disaster relief with the tornado.
Right.
The pandemic. Certainly, we did a ton of stuff with COVID and the bombing. We did quite a bit with the bombing downtown and first responders needs. And then, you know, last we had the flash flood that has left quite a bit of damage still in March. So we kind of wear two different hats, as well as just a lot of supplies into the cities and the communities that we serve.
Yeah. So looking for different businesses to become partners is the biggest order of business?
Yeah, we have, you know, there's definitely a couple of lines of business in the sense that volunteering and, you know, we're a staff of three. So we do operate quite a bit on volunteers. So team building opportunities for offices is always awesome. And whether you've got two people, you've got 20, we can always figure out how to make that work.
Right.
And so they're building like hygiene kits or breaking down pallets of donated product and organizing that and sorting it, repackaging it just so they can go right back out the door. And then certainly we do drives of stuff. So it's not just corporate giving, but it's, you know, your Suntan Cities of the world and Great Clips that want to put a barrel in their offices or in their stores and drive traffic through, hey, come in and make a donation.
Right.
Here are the six or seven things that we need on a regular basis. And then corporate and foundation giving is really important, individual giving. So there's always cash is king, unfortunately. You know, it's not like we're going to Target to buy the stuff that we're getting or using. I mean, we're buying it straight from distributors. We're bringing it, you know, in from importers, things like that. And we buy in tractor trailers. So we're not going to go, you know, we might go and clear an aisle at Target because we have an immediate emergency need.
Right. Or so are you looking at like the clearance aisle in Target?
No, not necessarily. You know, I think if you've got, I mean, I've gone through and bought every pair of, you know, hats, gloves, mittens, whatever in a Target, a dollar, you know, Family Dollar, something like that, because we've gone through, I mean, certainly in the week long of snow that we had here, not only did we already move through, you know, 30 or 40,000 pounds of food out to people, but also then we're hot hands, gloves, blankets, you know, clean socks, heavy socks, you know, all of that. So the moment that you think, man, I've moved all of that in preparation for a storm, and then that storm lasts a week, by about Tuesday, we were like, okay, we need more.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as we could get on the roads, we were going and just buying shop after shop.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So sometimes it's not that you can't get it or you can't get it. You know, certainly there was already a freight problem prior to that storm, just with COVID slowing a lot of things. And so most of our distributors are on a little bit longer lead time. And so for me to call them like on a Friday and be like, hey, we're about to have a storm hit us, send me everything you have on Monday, it still wouldn't have been here by Friday.
Right.
And that's the remnants of COVID. That's the
trickle-down
effect.
Are some of the business partnerships you have not only just volunteering, but they're also donating items?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a, I mean, we are, you know, in some form or fashion, we're one of the best kept secrets in town. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think the last 18 months has really changed that. The face of this organization has changed. The brand of it has changed. The reach of it has changed. So people are seeing value in the fact that we are serving directly right to the community. Mm-hmm. Every dollar that you spend with us, every donation that you make with us stays in the community, stays in the seven counties that we serve. So it's not a big dog situation in that you have donated money to this giant national cause and they say that it's staying here, but really it's prepping for the next disaster or it's prepping for the next thing. We literally are using every donation, every cent, every dollar right here.
What's the percentage? I mean, because I know there's percentage splits to you got to operate, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of people take to task some of the bigger dogs you were talking about that have a little bit more skewed operational costs to what your donations actually mm-hmm. go out to help. I mean, what is that something that is so normal to...
See, that's really hard in a small town time operation. Yeah. You know, we're maybe a little bit higher percentage than everyone else, but that's because our budget is so low.
Yeah.
So that your people are the majority of their budget because we are receiving such an influx in donations. So, for example, I mean, we did, you know, over $1 million donated last year to us, but we also received over $25 million in retail goods. Mm-hmm. So that's what we moved out the door. So our minuscule, you know, in that sense, it's minuscule, probably less than 5% is our salary costs.
Right.
In a regular year that doesn't have COVID and CARES Fund Act and all of those other disaster into it, we're going to be a little bit higher.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's pretty standard for a small operation.
So you can probably guarantee, hey, 85% to 90%.
Oh yeah, at least.
Yeah,
and so that's a pretty good swing. Here's the interesting thing, and the way we look at it is, you know, we have some really great partners that cover our operating.
Right.
So really, once that base operating is covered by those partners, everything that's raised, and we can say stuff to some of our corporate sponsors, like 100% of this is going straight to whatever that program is. It's not paying my salary or someone else's salary or, you know, the freight on the truck or the gas. It's really 100% of it's going to buy product and put it out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So with that being said,
what's your problem?
What are you having issues? What's keeping you up? What's your problem? Where do I begin?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think this year is going to be really interesting to see what happens. And you look at this COVID spike right now and, you know, coming out of a rough year like Nashville's had, it's going to take us a little bit of time to bounce back. And then I think, you know, for us, it's about money.
Right.
You know, our money is not going to be driven by a disaster this year.
Right.
So it now is about... It's like sales 101.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you carve out that time when, you know, you own a business, you know this, like you're doing everything and on top of it, a podcast and you're like, let me work with the sales guy to close that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a full-time gig all the time.
It's a juggling act.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that kind of goes back to your comment, like, I tend to be the captain of a ship that is like, this is what we're doing. Here's how we're going to get there. Da, 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 da. Finding quality people to be on that ship with you is really hard.
That is a constant problem a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Even in good labor market.
Yeah.
You know, because we're finding typically, I don't know, 10 to 15 hires. It takes you to find one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's not just can you sell, like that's people can sell all day long. Can you sell with a mission and understand the mission and accept that mission and own that mission per se, and then in turn find ways for people to understand and connect to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just somebody saying, oh, well, we give money because we're really into literacy.
Right.
Well, it's great that you're really into literacy. Like, we don't hand out books with our hygiene kits. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you about this program that we do with, you know, Metro National Public Schools in Wilson County and Williamson County. Like, let me tell you about this program and how what we're doing should keep kids in class. Does get kids to come to class because their clothes are clean, their teeth are brushed, like their hair's not a mess. Like, those are, literacy is important, but like here's this other side of education that's really important too.
And so hygiene is overlooked mostly in the nonprofit world typically?
Well, I don't know that it, well, yes, I would say there's always a gap.
That's your niche.
That's our niche. Yeah. Our niche is no one's providing feminine hygiene, bars of soap, shampoo, deodorant, you know, by the tens of thousands of thousands.
Right.
And so that was our niche. Like, we used to just be an everything for everyone. Like, oh, if you're a nonprofit, you can come get clothing and shoes and knickknacks and, you know, snow globes or whatever came in, whatever was donated, we took.
Right.
Now it's like, nope, this is our niche. This is what we do. This, here's how we serve it. And one, it came out of a need. Like, and it came out of a lot of education and research. But two, now, like, everyone was talking about, like, oh, we want to do bingo prizes. Oh, we want to give, you know, a floor mat for someone showing up to do something. Now it's like everybody needs laundry detergent. Everybody needs, you know, Lysol wipes. Everybody, like, those are the main keys that are getting people to do, especially people that can't afford those items.
Right.
You and I can run to Target and we can drop $100 and it doesn't hurt us. Most of the communities that we're serving have, I'll not say the brand, but like they have a store that's probably within walking distance that is higher than what you would pay, because it's not going to be a store that's driven by, you know, a lot of, we're not going to move through a Walmart amount of, you know, stuff in one community. And so they're paying a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have transportation that's reliable to get them to a Walmart or a Sam's or a Costco to buy in bulk to drive the cost down. They're just going in and buying whatever they can afford. And so we're finding that a lot of families that are insecure about food are insecure about basic essentials, because they kind of go hand in hand. And so you're trying to figure out how to put your next meal on your table. But you're also figuring out, like, how am I going to do laundry and pay the bills and keep the lights on and whatever else.
So you're looking for people who are like-minded, like-hearted, with a sales background. Well, not a background, but at least the ability to understand the, hey, you gotta at least be in a constant, something keeps on chiming, a constant state of learning about salesmanship.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's, I think I'm a learner. I'm a constant learner. I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly a podcast, a video, you know, Gary V's my guy, like, you know, like constantly looking for that next feed of like, what could we be doing better? And I think that goes back to like even radio, you know, talking about, you know, adopting things really late. Like that's what we're trying not to do here.
Yeah.
We're trying to be early adopters of how do you use, I guess, the new things, hotjar.com, you know, where you're like, where are people going on your website? Like, we're trying to figure out, where are they going? What do we need to beef up? How do we need to do that better? What is that story that we need to tell on our socials that makes somebody want to donate or makes somebody want to drive to Target, load up their car and bring it to us? Like, those are things that we're constantly, you know, having conversations about and sharing about.
What about events? Because you're big on events.
I do love an event.
Yeah.
You know, this is, again, you know, I think we're in a COVID weird world. We've not had our signature event for 2 years.
Right.
And that's painful. It's one of my favorite events in the city. It's called Oyster Easter. It is like the go-to spring event of the year. So it's a raw oyster bar. All you can eat, all you can drink, usually a great cover band, dancing, hula hoops. I mean, it's like SEC tailgate meets like Lilly Pulitzer. So like somewhere in between the infield and the midfield of Steeplechase, if you will. So we haven't done that for 2 years. We're about to be on our 60th anniversary next year. So it's going to be quite the blowout and the new thing. We started a new event last year called Gingerbreadville. So we did these really amazing gingerbread houses that are all pre-made, and you get an amazing candy array. Mm-hmm. So that was hoping to be in person this year, and we're not. We're going to do it virtual one more year. So, so
and that's for Christmas time, I'd imagine.
Christmas. Yeah, we do it right before Christmas. And so that's really kind of our main focus. We are building like a young professionals board or organization. And so we hope to do some stuff like a run and a bowling tournament, you know, some stuff like that, or like a bowling fest. I don't know, whatever they call them.
Well, I mean, the ultimate goal is to find, seek out businesses for those partnerships, right?
Yeah. You know, we have amazing people that come to us every year and they're like, we want to give you money. And it's great. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is, you know, they want to be tied to something, not just the mission. They want to, like, how do they get their name out? How do they, you know, they're using different pots of money within their industry and within their businesses. So it's not just like social responsibility anymore. It's maybe from their marketing department. It's from their education department, like whatever the piece is. And certainly those clients have expectation, just like radio clients do, or just like podcast clients, like they want something back in return. And so that's what we've been really spending time to build out and create.
So for a lot of businesses though, I mean, what size businesses typically are you working with?
All the above.
Everything.
Everything.
Not, there's no majority of certain.
No, because we have an East Nashville bookstore that gets these like amazing authors to sign over books to them and autograph them, and they sell them for 2 or 3 times the price and donate all the money to us.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's a couple hundred dollars, but that's a couple hundred dollars. At least one I didn't have to work for.
Right.
And not being crass about that. Like it's somebody that says, man, I love your mission. I love what you're doing. Let us do this for you. So it's almost like that third party kind of event ish.
Is that typically the motivation, the belief in what you're doing? Or is it, hey, we need to have a way to write off X amount of dollars in a charitable way?
I mean, I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think if you're a big player in the industry, you have to write some of that off. If you've had a great year, you know, you have to write some of that off. And we're very thankful for those people that just say, we're always going to do this. But sometimes the best donation is something you didn't expect. And we've had some really unexpected people through our year. You know, living with Landon is a great example. You know, the tornado hits. She was the first person to just, her assistant had come through and made a donation of just stuff to us and just said, hey, we went to Target, here you go. And the next thing I know, like, she's selling a t-shirt and it's coming to us and she's driving through and in the most like nonchalant way, like, here's a $35,000 check from Living with Landon's, you know, followers that bought a Living with Landon shirt, you know, that we didn't ask. Somebody just said, hey, we want to do this for you. And so, having people like that do that, and whether it's big or small, like we had a little boy, his name is, I want to say Alex. That's not it. It's probably Austin. It starts with an A, but you know, he came through really right off the tornado and gave us this bag of money. Like it's literally a quart bag. And he said, this is for all the little kids that lost their toys.
Oh, wow.
And it literally was his piggy bank. So little or small, you know, big or little, it didn't matter to us. Like we are able to, we take a dollar and we turn it into 18 is kind of the math, like our funky math. Like we're able to spend, you know, what we get for a dollar, we can get $18 in retail. And so when you think about the power of a dollar for us is way more valuable than sometimes the donated product. But you also need the donated product to offset your expenditures and how you're doing stuff.
I see. So getting back to your problem, looking for the right people, what kind of people are you looking for and what's typically happening over and over again?
And I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's that per se. I think for us it is sales cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it is nonprofits different. You fill a funnel differently than you really like sales 101.
Right.
And I think part of that is because you are dealing with multiple buckets of money and you're dealing with a lot of different time frames. It's not just, hey, can I run this spot today?
Right.
You know, it is, they got to take out all the marketing and what they've already said they're going to do and then say, hey, here's what we're doing. And so you're working on the little guys as much as you're working on the big guys. And then you're always saying thank you and following up. And so,
so you just need someone to make those phone calls and continually, almost like a CRM.
Yeah.
And continue that sales process.
Our CRM is like, why are you in here again? Like, you know, we live in that, whether it's a phone call, it's a, you know, my assistant takes a call from someone that says, we want to make a donation of, you know, new shampoo. Like, they're going in the CRM and they get right into the cycle just like everybody else. But it certainly is about time management, because I think that is, you know, we're balancing program. So like, how do we get the kids distributed? How do we get the people? How do we get the volunteers? How do we get the stuff? As much as like stopping long enough to be like, let me go make that sales call and let me go present at the chamber and let me sit on my BNI call at 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, like all of those things.
Are you in BNI?
BNI, West End.
That's right. Because they were doing the charity thing, the nonprofit free seat.
We received it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So, but that's a great, like, that's, you know, perfect example of like, how do you enter into a new networking group and everyone wants to have one-on-one, which I'm totally for.
We have a beautiful place to do it.
Yes. Yeah. And plus they see what we're doing. Yeah, great lights. Right. Except I need to leave with a light bulb. I'm just going to tell you that. So I'm going to leave today with a light bulb.
I could do that.
But like, you know, like they want to have these one-on-ones and it's great because we want to get them into the building, because when they get into the building and they see what we're doing, like then the light bulb, oh yeah, there's great marketing for you. Then that light bulb really goes off. Like, oh, here are the four people I need to introduce you to.
Yeah.
Here are the people that you, like, I sit on another board. This would be really great for you to partner in Antioch with such and such, you know, nonprofit. And here are three other people that are probably great outreach for you.
Right.
And so that is, you know, you've got to do the follow-up to get the appointment to, you know what I mean?
Well, all sure,
the
things,
you know, so it is
the process.
It is a process. And I don't think a lot of people, I think in the nonprofit world, unfortunately, people look at it like, oh, we just work for a nonprofit. For me,
that you're begging.
For me, this is a business. Yeah. Like, we just happen to be a nonprofit tax status, but we run it like a business, you know, almost in the sense of like a NASCAR. Like, I'm willing to put, you know, I'm staring at your cooler. Like, I'm willing to put an advertisement on our refrigerator. Mm-hmm. If that's like, if Ferguson said, hey, we're going to give you $5,000, just say from Ferguson, done.
Right.
Welcome to, you know, sponsoring the water refrigerator at the CRC.
Right.
So, I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, there's an opportunity for everyone.
Interesting. Very interesting. So moving forward, who are you looking for? What kind of people? What kind of solutions?
You know, we are looking for, you know, I think volunteering is going to be really different. Once like kids are back to school, like last year was really weird because you had parents that are like, oh, my kids are out of school, I'm going to bring them with them, or they're doing virtual school and the parents wanted to get away. So we had a lot of volunteers continue on, and I think that's going to be a challenge now that kids are really back to school.
Right.
So I think companies that are looking for opportunities to have their teams in small numbers. So you're not bringing 200, you're bringing 10 to 15 to spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours with us. And I think that's when you get them. Like, you see people that are volunteering and then they're like, oh, wait, I now understand why you guys do what you do. Mm-hmm. I understand how you do it. I understand why it's important to give to you. So, you know, I start with the volunteer because I think that's the easiest way to get people in and to understand our mission.
So you can get a business to sponsor these drop-off locations and put these boxes everywhere. Yeah. How many locations do you have? Donation boxes.
Well, right now, almost all of our donation boxes are at HCA.
Okay.
So they are pushing, they're all coming back into work.
Right.
And so they did a big July into August, big push. So at every compound and office, there's a set of barrels of ours. But sometimes it's just, you know, like White's Mercantile and 12 South. I mean, we only had one barrel there for a couple of months. And literally, like, we were pulling from it twice a week.
Right.
Because it's just a hot area and a lot of people. And it was easy for people to get to, drop off and whatever, you know. But we can do multiple, you know, we could do a Suntan City. We could do, 14, 15 location. Or we can do two. or we can do one. Like, right. It really doesn't matter. I think it's really about, you know, the key to this is that it's got to be a win for the other company. So the company needs to look at it as an opportunity to drive traffic into their location. So if you're not open, don't do a bin. You know, like, if you're like, if for anyone, like, if you're not, if your lobby is not welcome and open, then don't do something like this. But if it is open for people, then you should be saying, hey, our way of giving back during this time, knowing that whether COVID numbers are up or it's a disaster or whatever, is here are the six things that the CRC needs. Diapers, soap, shampoo, deodorant, feminine hygiene, and wipes. Like, six things that you can buy almost anywhere, the grocery store, Family Dollar, you know, Target, whatever. And you're driving right past such and such location, drop it off.
Right.
And sometimes they're like, here's a coupon for $5. Sometimes there's no coupon. It doesn't matter. Like, you're just driving foot traffic. And that works for anybody. We just met with a credit union this morning, and she was like, tomorrow we're doing, you know, a big auto sale for refinancing and whatever. She's like, we should have had a barrel here. And I was like, yes, you should have. But she didn't think ahead enough of it. But we said, next time you're going to have a one-day event or even a month-long event, like, that's a great time to have a barrel.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like a CRM type of activity, is even paying attention to some of these businesses that have these events.
Yeah.
And then saying, okay, reaching out to them, hey, is this something you guys do every year? Yeah. Great. What do you guys think about putting a barrel out next time? Let me just put you on my calendar a month ahead.
Yeah.
I'll hit you up and see if that's something
we can do. And we do, you know, like, farmers markets and things like that. And so half of it is, one, it's great if we got some donations.
Right.
But two, like, some of it is just education. You know, so it's interesting, the people that say, oh, I saw you at such and such. And so normally it's like, oh, I saw your barrel at White's Mercantile or a couple other places, you know, and they call and they're like, why are we giving this to you?
Right.
And then you get to give them the spiel and you get to talk about what you're doing and all that stuff. So it's really good.
But I mean, even looking at, like, I'm thinking Mercedes-Benz of Music City would probably be a good opportunity. And so I'll see if I can talk to them about it. But I mean, a lot of these types of businesses, it's just, there's really no harm in doing it.
Well, you know? And I mean, look at, you know, I'll pick on Gary Ashton a little bit. You know, Gary Ashton's done a great job in marketing himself as a real estate agent.
Yeah.
You know, he's given $50 for every appointment booked to, I think it's going to Vandy Children's.
Right.
So, like, who knows how much he's making off of a house, much more now than probably in the last year. But, like, what a great way to say, hey, every time you do this, I'm going to put, you know, a donation in. And ultimately, he's making more money, you know, in the grand scheme, because if he's selling more houses, you make appointments, you sell more houses, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's a great opportunity of just great partnership, excuse me. Like, but at the same time, like, finding your niche company that, you know, you support, and it doesn't need to be the CRC. It doesn't need to be Children's Hospital. Like, find, as an organization, find somebody to give back to. Like, it does help on your taxes, one, but two, like, you become a tie to that community. The community begins to love you. They begin to see your name with that nonprofit partner. And what you, like, it's not just about value, it's about trust.
Yeah.
And so people that are going into those stores, take millennials specifically. Like, if millennial has a choice between, like, a product that is tied to something, whether they know what that is or not, or a product that's not tied to it, within a same reasonable value and cost of the item, they're always going to pick the one that has something tied to it.
Right.
Because that for them is like, oh, I'm helping the world, I'm helping the community. And
they feel,
you know, and they feel good about what they're doing. Same with everyday buyers. Same with, you know, the power of the purse. I mean, we joke about that, but, like, that is a real thing. Like, women are making decisions every day that if you say, hey, I'm giving back to XYZ, there's value in that.
Right.
And then really show that you are. It's not just, you know, a stamp on a Facebook post or on their website, but it's really like, here's the check we wrote. Here's us volunteering. Here's us being a part of the community. Those are all things that I think people are drawn to.
I would think one of the first things you want to start with are CPAs. Getting out in front of them and saying, hey, you know, you got this... you know, you gotta
who do you know that needs to write a big check in the last quarter?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, why not just kind of get on their side? And that's a good B&I ask.
Yeah.
I'm looking for other CPAs. Because is there a benefit for someone to donate to the CRC over any other, you know, nonprofit?
No.
The same benefit, same kind of.
Same thing. Yeah. You know, I think it depends on, you know, I mean, we have stuff that comes from out of state. You know, we do a lot of work with Tito's.
Yeah.
Handmade vodka, our favorite. You know, and that's coming from Texas.
When they deliver, we don't get much done, but, you know, hey.
No, I wait until after 5 o'clock. Yeah. I mean, I am a rule follower, but you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, we have a local person, but certainly we're negotiating, like, back to that N word, you know, we're negotiating for every dollar that they have in the market, you know, just the same as any other nonprofit. So, like, we're trying to show value and show what we're doing. And they'll pick who they want to work with and who they don't want to work with.
Is the notion of the sales negotiation, closing, and all, that whole process a big surprise for somebody that's coming on board to work for you?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, yeah. I think nonprofits in general, they don't look at it like a business. They look at it like a service to those that they're serving.
Right.
Where I look at it like
it's a business.
This is a business. Yeah. We just happen to be a nonprofit, you know, like that's how we do our taxes.
You need some sort of a positioning statement too. I mean, do you have something like that for the business?
Oh yeah, we got a mission and we got a
right
actions and, you know, all of that. Like that is a full-time noodling and negotiating. And,
yeah. But I mean, the big niche that you kind of are over are, look, we want to help people feel better.
Yeah.
Smell better. And be clean. I mean, that's kind of what you're doing, right?
It is.
So, I mean, that's just, I'm just good at, I think I've developed a skill of reducing it to the ridiculous when I hear.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, we used to have this mission statement that was like 20, 30 words long. Like, you couldn't even remember it to stand in an elevator to give your elevator speech. Like, it was like, what do we do? And then people would try to say, like, we are to stuff what Second Harvest is to food or Hands On Nashville is to people.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're like, we are giving out hygiene. We erase the barriers to hygiene.
Right.
Free of cost.
Helping people feel fresh.
So fresh and so clean.
Fresh and clean people.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, so, like, we joke that, like, soap should not be, you know, soap should be available to everybody all the time. It's not. It's a sad world.
Oh, it's always been a sad world.
Yeah,
it's a whole separate conversation.
You know, I think it's in a town as rich as Nashville.
In a country as rich as America, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, I'm going to say, you know, I think, you know, even in Wilson County, because, you know, I think Williamson County, I mean, like, there are some very well off counties that we are struggling with food insecurities and basic essential insecurities that should not be there.
But don't you think that nonprofits don't do the best job of getting themselves out there, though?
Oh, 100%.
Right. I mean,
100%. I just saw something on Facebook that was like, what do you call a company that talks and talks and talks and talks and talks about fixing a situation but never does? Mm-hmm. And someone was like, it's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's very true. I mean, I was like, at first I was like, but I was like, that may not be me, but it might be somebody else.
But I mean, with you, you have such a tremendous opportunity with all the businesses moving in.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know what I mean? To really make an indelible impression on them. I mean, it's almost like you have to reinvent, not the face of the organization, but almost, you know, community resource center is a very nebulous term.
Oh, 100%. Right?
So what's the positioning statement? Like
when,
you know,
we were named 40 years ago, I don't think people realize, like, there will be a community center.
Right.
There will be a, like, whatever reiteration of those three words and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there is a community resource center in Madison.
Right.
That is tied to those coming out of incarceration or, you know, in the court system that needs to go and get classes to get out of their sentences.
Can you do a DBA maybe?
Oh, I don't know that we would change it.
I don't know, man. I think you're
driving
home.
Here's what I'm telling you. I think we finally have a logo that like really speaks hope and joy and love with our hand and our heart kind of situation. And we're going to do a lot of branding about that. But like, I mean, like, let's also be 100% realistic that 18 months ago, I would never be talking about buying a billboard.
Right.
I would never be talking about merch. I would never be, you know, like we were on a one track pony mind.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the world is our oyster, and now
because people are, the advent, you freaking doubled down and grinded during the last 18 months.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't close at all.
Yeah.
I mean, like, other people closed and we were like, we got to take it to the streets.
Right.
You know, we were doing, passing out boxes of cleaning supplies on the side of the road, practically, you know, drive through kind of things that we had never done before. And really it was out of necessity because our partners had closed their doors.
Yeah.
Out of safety. And I totally am like, I get it. Like, yeah, you had to do what you had to do for your organization. My response for my organization is we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
As long as people weren't sick and as long as we could keep the doors open and keep pushing people out and volunteers through and all of that stuff, then we're going to work.
People Fresh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the name.
Are you still working on that?
I'm totally still working on that. People Fresh.
You're going to like text me in the middle of the night. I got it. Because that's how you roll. Like, I got it. I figured it out.
But that's what you
and
do.
And I did your voiceover while I was in the closet at the house.
In the closet.
Here you go.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, I do all my voiceovers, if not here, in a closet at my house. Still do.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it works.
I do love when like you do it live.
Yeah. I got
to
do that.
We're totally on the left. Like, we just went to a different universe. But I will say, because I enjoy the little like shout out, like, hey, Tina, I hear you. We'll sell you the whole seat. You'll only need the edge. Like, I mean, you know.
I'm thinking something along the lines of that just tells the people what the business is. I mean, you know, this is
what. Well, maybe I need a podcast.
You totally do. Yeah. I'm always up for that.
No, I've been throwing that around. Like, maybe
doing a podcast?
You know, yeah.
Well, you can bring your business owners on and the partnerships and do a feature. I mean, you could do similar to stuff what we're doing here.
Yeah.
It's getting businesses inside the building,
well,
getting them to
I
know
think,
us.
You know, I think there's a lot of knowledge in my brain.
Yeah.
A lot of experience that, one, I never thought I'd put a bombing in the FBI. Like, the FBI has my personal cell phone number. Like, I never thought that those things would be happening, or I would be working with the chief of police and the, you know, chief of OEM and the field operators and like all of those people.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be like on first name basis, let alone, you know, calling me at 3 a.m. to be like, hey, we have a tornado that just went through.
Yeah.
So in that sense, there's a lot of knowledge of what we've gained and gleaned and learned. And
and it's not squandered on you.
No,
you really do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I mean, it makes me, you know, I think my husband said it best, like, and I've regurgitated a couple times for interviews, like, I love business, I love working, but he's like, you thrive in disaster, whether it's an event for 100,000 people, like, that's a disaster in itself, but like, or in this situation,
that is so true.
It is. I'm really even keeled. I can see from 40, 50,000 feet in the air. I don't get stuck in the minutiae. And so for me, it was literally like, you know, people were like, oh my gosh, so much stuff is coming into the building. What are you doing? And for me, it was like, how do you ingress and regress? Like, how do we get people in the building and out of the building? How do we get product in the building and out of the building? Like, where are we taking it? And so, you know, that's just how I view, really, even today, how I really view what we do. It's about just moving product in a way that makes sense. It's moving people in a way that makes sense, and taking on some really great sponsors along the way.
With the Race for the Cure stuff back in the day with Mix downtown Nashville.
Yeah.
And in some of those videos, if you look them up on YouTube, you appear in some of that footage. You've made
probably
the video.
Screaming at someone.
you're just taking charge, man. You're just running the show, and a lot of people coming up to you knowing you're the person to talk to for certain solutions. You're that person. You own that role.
Yeah.
You are the control in the chaos.
Yeah, and right? I think that's where, you know, like, people have asked, what am I doing next? Like, what's going to be my next thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. Like, don't, like, if you're my board, don't be freaking out. I'm not leaving.
Right.
But at the same time, like, how do I churn my knowledge into what the next thing is? Like, is it a book? Is it a podcast?
Yeah.
Is it a, you know, how do you talk about all the things?
All the things.
My husband says, I cannot wait to read that book. And I was like, oh yeah, of me at like 5 a.m. in the middle of an industrial area, like, you know, trying to open the door and go to work, you know? So,
well, I think for that, what you need to do is just write a page a day.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Let's just
and then just put the pages together where they should go.
You can actually do a podcast and get a book out of your podcast.
Oh.
That's what Brian Covey did. Check out Brian Covey. BrianCovey.com. He's one of my guys.
Huh.
Yeah. I produce this podcast.
I don't know. I think there's, you know, I love what we do because right now we're writing the new book.
Yeah.
You know, we have 40 years of experience in what we do and how we do it. But in reality, we're writing the new wave of what Nashville needs and what this community needs and what our counties around us need. But at the same time, you know, no one's telling me how I got to do it.
Right.
I finally get to call the shots. And that's, you know, I think that's the hardest thing in radio is like, you knew the right thing to do. You knew the right thing to move the station in the direction I need to go, move the sales team in the direction, like whatever the thing was. But your hands were always tied because there's always somebody that was like,
there's so many cooks in the kitchen.
Can you increase that font by 10 points for that billboard? Mm. You know, and we all know who we're talking about. But like, you know, in that sense, it was, you know, it doesn't need to be 10 points. Like, why are we arguing about, you know, why are we arguing about a free t-shirt? I would also say, like, put the logo on a t-shirt, upside down, right side up, whatever, put it on, move on.
Yeah.
We're now like, I can craft this.
Right.
And people trust me to craft it. And I think that's probably the best part of my professional experience at the moment. Even with the last 18 months being the hardest.
Well, it was a proving ground of sorts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know. It was a proving ground cause I was calling the shots already, but like, I think, I'm most proud in my whole life of what I've accomplished in 18 months. For the city, for the counties, for the neighborhoods and the people that we serve and the survivors that we have shared, tears over as we're delivering furniture and stuff to them. And, but it has been the hardest professional experience I've ever had.
Well, because you're probably looking for volunteers and extra help and all that stuff.
I mean, yes, but in a way that, I lived in a box. Like, if you really want to be really true, like, four walls, what I saw is what was coming in and coming out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the moment that you stepped out of that and you saw Germantown, you saw Wilson County, I mean, I live a mile from where the tornado hit, you know, we were extremely lucky. Like, you all of a sudden, like, what you can compartmentalize in doing what we do, like, I'm not an emotional person, but oh my gosh, like seeing the devastation and seeing the water, you know, rise in that flash flood, certainly going down to the bombing site. Like, there are emotions that no one's really dealt with in this environment like we have, and what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've participated in. And so in that sense, you know, keeping the train on the rails, but at the same time, knowing that people were involved in it and lost their lives, lost, you know, their livelihoods. Yeah, everything.
So with social media, you guys use a lot of that, I would have to say yes.
We do.
And I'm like, you know I've seen it. I'm like hoping that I follow you guys.
That would be really sad.
And you know, I got to look here.
You're pulling it up on camera, so they're going to know whether or not.
Yeah, I'm putting myself out there.
So at CRC Nashville is our socials. So primarily Instagram and Facebook. You know, Instagram has been amazing for us this year, and we're marching towards that 10,000, you know, like, so dude, lame, so lame.
I'm ashamed to admit we don't follow you. I follow you now. Okay. I just did it.
Okay.
No wonder I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. So, you know, and we highlight the partners that we're working with and the nonprofits that we serve and just the amazing work that we're doing and who we're working with. And it's pretty awesome.
Are you personally on Instagram as well?
Yes. The Tina Factor.
Maybe that's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Tina Factor.
That's, you know, a friend of mine, I was like, hey, I'm looking for a new business name. And that was when I was trying to, like, am I going to do consulting? Am I not? I don't know. You know,
dude, I don't even follow you. How do I not follow you?
How are we not friends? I don't know. I think you and I are friends on Facebook.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, how do we? You didn't even come up in, like, you know, suggested people, for crying out loud.
I'm fixing that right now. Here's why. I've spent so much time on our branded, our CRC brand,
right,
that even my husband is like, you are non-existent on the gram. And I was like, I am, but that's, you know.
I have to be better about it. I just had a training with a guy named Steve Beecham. Loved him to the point where I said, dude, I know you live in Atlanta, but on your way back tomorrow, come on in, let's do an episode. And that episode's coming out, or, well, probably by the time this one is going to be out, his will be out.
Okay.
So, and he talks about all that. He's like, look, just find an easy way to put out something positive and consistent every single day.
Yeah.
And that's the toughest thing.
And really it is. And I think, you know, again, it goes back to this time management thing.
Yes.
And I mean, if you looked at my calendar for me just to get out here today, I'd block the hour before the meeting, before mm-hmm. our time together.
Yeah.
And then I blocked the 2 hours before, one, because I know we'll talk a lot.
Yeah.
So we're not, I'm not leaving here right at an hour.
Right.
Then I've got to battle traffic for wherever I'm headed next. You know, so like for me, it's really... You know, I'm an early riser. I've gone through my emails that have come in, you know, since the last time I checked my email. By the time I'm making breakfast for my kiddo and, you know, could have a great day at school. And I'm off to work before she ever gets picked up to go to school. So, you know, it's really being just advantageous about your time. And then the downtime, you know, she does extracurricular activities like... I'm not the mom that sits in the gym and watches that. I am like literally on my Wi-Fi in my car working and belting out content and everything else for us that it's, right. You know, it's hard to be like, let me take that cute picture of me holding a Starbucks fall drink and be like, basic. Hashtag. See,
I go through these little modes every now and then. Like today, I'm on fire. You know, I know that's
Jim, tomorrow, you're Wednesday. Always on fire.
Well, I don't know. Yes. But I mean, there's sometimes where I just don't post anything for months because I'm just tired of it. And plus, I don't feel like I don't get any engagement on Facebook anymore. I feel like people just freaking think
it's like
I'm a
yearbook. I mean, it's like really just kind of checking in with people. And
whenever I share, like, you know, clips from the podcast or episodes, it's crickets. I mean, out of almost 5,000 friends, nothing. So I'm thinking either Facebook's throttling back.
Oh, the algorithm is totally screwed.
Yeah.
Like I think, you know, and I don't have a huge following, but I have enough that I'm like, people should be, you know, and we talked about when I got here, like we posted the first day of picture, like first day of school picture.
Yeah.
I think I had like almost 300 likes. I'm like, I haven't had anything like that in forever.
Yeah.
So like, where,
what does that tell you?
What just happened?
Yeah. Whenever you share from a page, like if I share something from the What's Your Problem podcast page.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah,
I just. So I think, you know, Facebook's no. If you want it out to people, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, everybody's got their hand in everything.
You do TikTok as well?
So I am I'm not posting on TikTok. I'm a closeted TikTok fan.
Closeted?
Yeah.
So you're lurking.
I love to watch.
Yeah, you're lurking.
I love to watch. I love to see what people are doing. But I'm not necessarily like gonna make a video.
It's still the platform where the marketers haven't ruined it yet. It's almost 100%. Getting there, you know. So you still have organic growth capabilities.
Yeah.
I just passed 1,000 followers on my channel, and all I do is post the clips from the podcast. But yes, you should definitely do a podcast.
Didn't
we talk about doing one?
Well, we talked about my husband doing one.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm not sure if anybody wants to listen to him.
Rant
and rave. I don't know. He says I'm a lot. No, I'm just joking. Like I think it would be great. I don't know that they've fleshed it out quite a bit. You know, it's for his company. So like they need to figure out who they want to talk to and what they want to do with it.
Man, if you have a podcast, best way to get your stuff out there. Having conversations like these.
Yeah, you know, they're a whole other What's Your Problem.
Oh really?
You know, they've got really smart people. They can't get out of their own way.
Oh yeah, too
and
many
so,
cooks.
Yeah, too many cooks. But I think like the other side of it is
ego.
When you are going, well, here's the thing: like when you're going for financing, you want to stay really lean, you know, and you're staying lean to show that you're making money. And in turn, sometimes you, is it like you cut your nose to spite your face? Is that the same? So like you should have put funds and people to do jobs. Like I love my husband. I think he's a great guy. He is not your detail oriented team member.
Right.
Don't put him in charge.
Big picture guy.
Big picture guy.
Yeah.
Big picture guy. Can tell you your problem and how to solve your problem before you know there's a problem.
Right.
But don't have him be your detail guy. And he currently is the detail guy. So I'm like, eh.
That doesn't fit.
I love you, babe. But like, you need, I did say, you need some women that can like get some real detail things done. And he was like, you're right.
You know, it's funny. I think I ran by you the idea of doing like a big event in Nashville, Cool Springs, or bringing these big influencers to town. We got to figure that out.
We do. Yeah. I think there's value in that. I think, you know, I think there's a couple of people that like to come to Nashville and they want to do what they want to do kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think making something really available for the masses is key, because I don't think anyone, whether you're Grant, you're Gary, like you can throw all the first names out, like and name drop all day. I don't know that they are so out there in their thought process that normal people can't do what they're doing.
No, that's it. But
it's just the work. It's the hustle. Yeah,
it's the hustle and the work. And they even admit that.
Yeah.
But what I would ideally love to have, and again, I'm not the detail person on this, but we could probably figure something out and get sponsors to pay for it and everything. Yeah. Figure out what the costs are to get all these guys in. Cardone, Vaynerchuk, Ed Milet, Brad Lee, we'll get him in as well. I know he's doing an appearance here soon with Coach Burt, and a fifth guy, Dave Ramsey, on the same stage doing a panel as my podcast. I'll be the moderator.
What's in it for me? I'm just joking.
You can co-host if you want.
Okay, can I, like, I know we're in Dave's backyard, and I might say something he shouldn't say. I don't know that Dave deserves the seat at the table.
Well, I think it would just be fun entertainment, because Cardone would love to take him to task.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But I look at Cardone and Gary and I look at those guys after diving into it, and I am like, I'm a Gary V fan.
Sure.
I'm on fire for him. I think what he, you know, shares is spot on for the most part. And making himself available, I think that's the other thing, is like being accessible is key. That I just don't know that there was a time where Ramsey hustled like that. I don't think he does.
Well, I mean, I think it was a different, it was, dare I say, easier back in the day.
Oh, 100%.
To make yourself stand out. Plus, you know, he doubled down on a very singular niche, you know, helping people get out of debt and get back to zero. He bought time on the radio station, which turned into a massive radio show. So, yeah, I mean, it was, the stars aligned for that.
Yeah.
I remember Dave Ramsey when he was advertising in trade magazines for talk radio. And the big hook.
And begging you to call him.
Well, I mean, it was mainly like, just, you know, it was six words, because he's big on six words, where life happens, caller after caller. Yep. And that's how he pitched his show to radio stations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of grew from there.
I don't know. I could talk about this all day.
He's a huge personality, and let him just get in front of, you know, for that kind of thing, just for the, it would be like a Royal Rumble of these massive egos.
Speaking of Royal Rumble, like, are you watching I Am Athlete?
No.
YouTube? They have a podcast too. It's I Am Athlete, and then it is something else. The wives have a show. So it's like, it's a bunch of athletes, married athletes, cause their wives have a separate show, but it's literally them in a room, like, not like we're in, but like a bigger room. And they are literally like debating who's best in whatever sports arena.
Right.
And talking smack and whatever. It is hilarious.
Really?
But it is like Royal Rumble on a regular basis.
Well, nobody's been like, you know, the crapster of the influencer world. I'd like to be that.
The crapster?
Yeah. Crapsterer.
A crapster.
Yeah. I would dare say Jordan Belfort probably gets into that realm.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he and Cardone went at it. They were like, you know, it was a contentious interview.
Rogan?
Huh?
Where do you see Joe Rogan?
Oh, he's basically the lead and personality on a podcast. I mean, he's bigger than
Yeah, but don't you think he kind of...
stirs the crap?
Stirs the pot.
I think he has natural conversations that are driven by curiosity. You know what I mean? That's what a really good conversation.
I can't listen to a four-hour podcast. I mean, we're going to creep on that at some point over here. But
no, I mean... Like, but I mean, he's doing nothing more than just a radio show. I mean, Howard Stern does the same thing. Howard Stern is rabidly curious. That's why he's such a great host.
Yeah.
He asks good questions and has good writers and stuff, so.
The writers is the part that gets me. Yeah. Like, I can't do that.
Writing for somebody?
Well, no, just that you're curating your content versus like an organic, really true conversation.
Yeah, like this one.
I mean, it's different. Like, I do your homework. Mm-hmm. You at least said my last name correctly. Most people cannot. We have to usually do a second or third take.
Doniger. Doniger. Doniger.
Doniger. Or it's Doringer. Or it's Donna. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Carrie Ann from, you know, Carrie Ann Sear.
Yeah.
She says, how many people call me Carrie Ann Cry? Or, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, how do you not...
There are people that just switch the letters around. Yes. And
yeah. I think there is something organically about conversation.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, the podcasts that I love to listen to and I love to participate in are the ones about really organic conversation. Like, don't send me five questions ahead of time and be like, these are the five things we're going to discuss.
That's amateur hour.
I didn't look at it. Like, if you know me long enough, like, I breezed through an email that said, here's the address to get to Big Dot.
Yeah. you have a list of questions, or what should I be prepared for? Be prepared for just a natural flowing conversation. Yeah. At some point, I'm going to ask you what your problem is you're having.
And here's the really funny thing. This reminds me of like hanging out in the video studio with you.
Right.
Like, and usually we were hiding from our boss, Dennis. Right. But I'll just call him out on that one.
Poor Dennis. I like Dennis. You were crazy about Dennis, I know.
No. Dennis probably doesn't like me either. I don't know. I wonder, does Dennis see my name in print and he's like, and here I thought she was going to be a screw up. I don't know.
He thought
I was dumb to retire. And I was like, I retired to travel the beaches of the Caribbean. Like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I think there is something really organic and amazing about conversation,
mm-hmm.
whether it makes the podcast or it hits the floor. But, you know, I think those are the things that I would love to see those guys sit around the table and just hash it out.
Yeah. That's what I think it would be fun to just kind of moderate and then stir the crap. Be like, you know, Dave, Grant just said that about your plan. You going to take that from him? I mean, come on. You know, what do you say to that? What's up with that? You know, Ed Mylett would be, have more of a faith angle on things. And Brad Lee, man, he tells some pretty funny dad jokes.
I think it would be interesting. Yeah. I think just as interesting would be watching the people come through the front door.
Yeah.
That bought the tickets.
Really?
Yeah. I think it would be a really like cross section of people. Like the get richers, you know, like you'd have the people that are like, I'm going to get my get rich scheme today. Yeah. It's going to make sense. And then I think you've got the like diehards, and then you have the people in the middle. But the diehards are like, yeah, I'm siding on Gary Vee. I'm not going to side with Mylett. Like, you know, I mean, I just think it would be a really interesting conversation.
That would be a total interesting conversation. Yeah. That could be one part of it.
Yeah.
You have a day-long event and, you know, having to align and wrangle all the egos in terms of who goes first and second.
I do not
want
to be that stage manager.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, you could actually organize an event that big. That's a whole separate business right there.
That is a whole separate business.
You know? And, we kind of just make it organically named and stuff. None of this, you know, hyperbole or anything, these grandstanding names, you know, the get rich quickathon, that kind of stuff.
Like there's an event coming to town. I don't even know when it is. And it is like the VIP outdoor party.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is going to the VIP outdoor party? And
who are the VIPs?
Why do I need to be there? And then I watch this video and I'm like,
oh,
I have no idea who these people are.
Right.
But you're going to pay $2,000 to hear him speak.
Yeah, I mean, typically these events have one big keynote speaker. I mean, yeah. Brad is a big keynote speaker. He's coming to town to do an event. But the rest of them, I mean, I have no idea who they are.
I don't know.
But, you know, they're fabulous in their own right. They're too busy being fabulous.
I was going to say somebody told them they were fabulous. Yeah.
So anyway, check everything out at crcnashville.com. Is that the website?
That is it. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and, no. Website, crcnashville.org.
crcnashville.org.
Yes.
I always get the
.com. At crcnashville
is the handle.
For the socials.
Yeah. Go check those guys out. And, you know, if there's any impetus to want to partner up or seek out what they do a little bit more, check the website out. Contact Tina and her team. She'll get you pointed in the right direction for a wonderful partnership. Of course, check us out, whatsyourproblempodcast.com, if you have any guest ideas or topic ideas, or you just want to reach out to me and tell me to go screw myself. That's perfectly fine. whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Tina, once again, thanks for coming out here. Always a pleasure.
Oh, dude, I love you, man. It's so fun to see you.